Now live from Studio 550, it's McGraw in the Morning on the Big 550 KTRS.
8:38, one of our friends, David Stokes from the Show Me Institute, is with us. He's a policy analyst, joins us every Monday. Good morning, David Stokes.
Good morning, McGraw.
Inquiring minds want to know, you brought this to our attention a couple weeks ago, and that is the speed limit decrease on Forest Park Parkway, and you just wanted to know why.
Wanted to know why, so I wanted to get a copy of the automatic bill that was passed lowering it. So it turns out there wasn't a bill passed lowering it, that they just do these things at the discretion of the street department in the city, which I think is strange, but okay. So then I contact the street department trying to get a copy of the speed study, the traffic count study, whatever they did to justify it. And they didn't have anything public before the decision to lower it. So then they said they'd get me they'd compile the data together for me at some point. And you saw what they compiled for me because I forwarded it to you. It's a few sentences saying, yeah, we looked at it. Our traffic people thought it was a good idea. It'll make things safer. But they didn't actually send me any data or any real evidence in support of it. So now I'm free to speculate. and nobody can attack me because I asked for the data and they didn't send me anything.
So they sent you a one paragraph basically saying that we talked to people and we should lower it 5 miles per hour.
Right. That's the extent of apparently the work that was done beforehand, before they lowered the speed limit for this major regional thoroughfare. That some gentleman, I think you saw it on Twitter too, and I retweeted it so anybody can see it. A great camera taken by a listener here who took a photo the other night of the Forest Park Parkway. Said, and I think the caption was, 6 lanes, there's 2 cars within, there's 2 cars visible. Yeah, sure, this should be a neighborhood speed limit of 30 miles an hour.
So your speculation, why did they lower the speed limit on Forest Park Parkway?
Because a few people complained, a few people asked for it, and because for politicians, or in this case, a street department,
right,
working at the behest of politicians, it's a simple thing to say yes. It's easier to just say yes to a couple of people who are really active on it, even if it's not the right thing to do, than it is to say no and risk upsetting some activist groups. And you have that problem throughout, well, in any democracy, where people who really are interested in a certain issue can put out their an unequaled amount of force, and the people who get harmed by it, it's only a minor harm, so they don't really get that interested.
Basically, you're saying the 99.999% of us who drive on Forest Park Parkway aren't going to call up the streets department and say, we like the speed limit the way it is.
Exactly.
The 4 people who have nothing better to do than complain, and the streets department manage to the email or manage to the letter as opposed to manage for the greater good.
Exactly. And, they've got reports that there have been serious accidents along the stretch. Over the past decade was what I was told by the street department. And I wish I had that data to compare, but they didn't send anything to me.
Right.
And the problem is the idea that just reducing the speed limit is really going to make things safer. And some of the supporters of the reduction tweeted as well a stat a few weeks back saying, well, here's what happens to pedestrians in accidents at 40 miles an hour, and here's what happens at 30, and at 30 you have a much greater chance of survival. And that's great, except that that's not going to happen now with this because they're artificially lowering the limit. Instead of going from the average car going 40 and now going 30, they're going to go from the average car going 39 down to 38. And that's what the studies show. You're not actually going to substantially reduce traffic. You're just going to make lawbreakers out of safe and prudent drivers.
You're also, who is walking on Forest Park Parkway? There aren't too many walkers walking down the shoulder on Forest Park Parkway.
Well, along Kings Highway in Euclid, you have a lot of people crossing back and forth from Barnes Jewish Hospital and the Children's Hospital complex. So things that they can do for better pedestrian, longer yellows or longer light, longer street walking lights, at Euclid and the rest, those are good things, and I wouldn't have any complaints about that. I would encourage that. But along the parkway, you have a lot of places to safely cross the street at the various blocks,
right,
and I don't think they're going to achieve any goals with this.
All right, well, wait and see. Way to keep your way to keep the feet to the fire there, David Stokes.
Thank you, McGraw.
All right, now, moving on. We had the mayor of Florissant, Tom Schneider, on the show about an hour or so ago, And he was talking about how the Walmart there, Florissant stood up to Walmart and said, no TIF, no CID. Now Walmart wants some type of traffic district development tax. And the mayor, the city council, and the residents don't get to vote on this.
They do not. First of all, good for the mayor and great for the city of Florissant. I commend the council and the mayor there to reject the TIF. This is an example of where a developer said, we want to do this Walmart, we have to do the TIF. The city said no, and because it was a good project, the developer came back and said, all right, we'll still do it.
Right.
So for all these cities out there that think they have to do it, or for the city of St. Louis with their TIF discussion of the new Whole Foods apartment complex in the West End tomorrow, good developments will still go forward without a subsidy if you just have the discipline to turn it down. So with Florissant here, then they rejected the community improvement district. So now the developer in Florissant are going to get a transportation development district, which because of the law, the only entity that will be in this TDD is going to be the development itself. So they don't need to put it to a vote of anybody. They just need to compile their information, file a court action, and have a judge approve it, which he or she almost certainly will because they're always approved.
Now, why can't the judge – I mean, what's the criteria for the judge to reject or accept it?
I've never seen a judge reject it. So the criteria is simply, I think, if they meet the existing legal criteria for it, which is 100% owner, 100% agreement by the owners of the property, and there'll only be one property here, so only one owner.
Right.
They can pretty much get it, provided they can demonstrate they'll do any type of transportation-related improvement at all.
So the town, they've set it up so that the town has no chance to stand up to these developers.
Well, in regards to a transportation development district, right. The developer just has to demonstrate that the money will be used for transportation-related improvements, which can be as simple as better ways to and from their own development and a better parking lot for their own development.
So they could ask for $20 million and end up with a new paved road.
Well, if it was a new paved road that actually benefited the public, that would be far better than it usually is. In most cases, it's just new driveways and a new parking lot to serve the development that's now getting the tax dollars. It's a joke how simple it is to do.
What's amazing to me is that these developers will scream, government, get off my back, and yet they will bend over backwards to get government to pay and to subsidize their own projects.
Absolutely, McGraw. It is frustrating. And as we tell people all the time, when you're out arguing for free markets, it's different to be pro-free market than it is to be just pro-business.
Right.
Because businesses, I want to get regulation off of businesses and markets as much as possible, probably much more than most people out there. But there's no denying that existing businesses, particularly large businesses, have an active effort underway to get government to subsidize their activities as much as possible. And this is a perfect example of it.
A perfect example, because Walmart clearly wants to build it, but they don't want to pay for it themselves.
Well, and I don't know who the exact developer
THF.
Here is. So it is THF.
Yeah.
All right, so it's basically one and the same. So, yeah, they want some level of public finance. They're going to insist on it and almost assuredly get it unless the judges. And now the city or a citizen activist in Florissant have to now hire attorneys to fight this if they're going to continue to fight it. I hope they do, but I certainly understand if they don't, because now you're using tax dollars to have to engage in a court battle. They should. TDD and CID laws, community improvement districts for the latter, need to be amended to require votes of the people in far more instances of their enactment.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon down in Jefferson City, because they refuse to take up some type of reform on all of this. But the nice thing is that if this Walmart goes through, the people of Florissant will finally be able to buy undershirts and underwear and maybe a soda, because as of right now, the people of Florissant have nowhere to shop. And I don't know how they're existing without a Walmart. So hopefully they can get this Walmart and then actually join the 21st century.
Well, it's a barren desert of retail in North County, of course, other than the whole Hazelwood Mills gigantic mall and a thousand other places meeting these needs already.
Yes, exactly right. That's why the government needs to somehow subsidize Walmart, because the community is not served up in Florissant. It's just unbelievable. Any other Ballot initiatives you want to let us know about?
Yeah, the last major one is the special school district tax increase, which is on the ballot a week from tomorrow.
Yes.
In all of St. Louis County and a portion of Jefferson County that's within the special school district. That's a, it's a 19-cent tax increase going from a dollar to a dollar 19. So that's an easy percentage increase for me to figure out, at least. So 19% is a large tax increase in percentage terms and in real terms. Post-Dispatch had an editorial in favor of it the other day, talking about how the special school district really doesn't have any current fiscal issues. They're just passing this for part of long-term fiscal health. And while I commend governments for taking that long-term view, I really don't see how this rather substantial tax increase that even the Post editorial says isn't needed right now, I don't know how that's going to play here. And this is a big tax increase. I think it'll be about $75 for about a $200,000 home in St. Louis County.
And that's interesting that they're going back to the voters when they don't necessarily need it. I mean, normally they say we, like the library district says, we really need it. Please give us a tax increase. These guys are saying we don't necessarily need it now.
Right. They're saying that they need it for their long-term fiscal health. And again, good for them for thinking long-term. Right. But I don't know of any actual plans. Like, we're going to do this with this money right now. We're going to build this new center or improve this service. I think a lot of it's going to go towards employee pay increases. And while the employees of the special school district certainly do God's work every day, it'll be up to the voters of St. Louis and Jefferson County to decide if they want to increase their taxes along with that. Between the library district and this tax increase, if they both pass, that's going to be a decent-sized increase for the average homeowner in St. Louis County.
Also throw in the smoking tax.
Right, absolutely. If you're a smoker and a property owner,
and you like to read in the library,
you might be paying more for those privileges come next year.
That is Show Me Institute policy analyst David Stokes, ladies and gentlemen. What's the website and the email?
ShowMeInstitute.org. You can follow me on Twitter at David C. Stokes, and we have a new policy study coming out tomorrow, I believe, on teacher salaries in Missouri, done by James Scholes, one of our new policy analysts. So check that out online.
When we can talk about it next week, I guess?
Oh, I would love to.
All right, good. We'll do that. David Stokes with us every Monday from the Show Me Institute. 850, Big 550, KTRS.